Today on Real Life Radio.
When you were an early Christian in the first century and you mentioned the cross, people went, the cross? It'd be like, just like today, people would say, man, you know what? I came to the end of my rope and that's where I found my Savior. You would say today, I came to the cross and that's where I found my Savior. Have you literally come to the cross for your life?
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, with January right around the corner, I got to tell you, we're excited to once again be going through the one-year Bible together as a congregation, and we're hoping you'll join us. This last year has not been an easy one. The wars in Israel and Ukraine, with rumors of war on the horizon, health epidemics, and the ever-rising cost of living, that's just to name a few. So here's an idea. Why don't we nourish our spiritual growth together? The One-Year Bible lays out a simple plan of what to read and when by dividing God's Word into daily readings in as little as 15 minutes a day. Don't worry if you miss a day or two or three or even a week. Just begin again at that current day so that we're all on the same page. Our God is still on the move in miraculous ways and wants us to look forward to the new year. Reading the scriptures together, it's an unforgettable devotional experience and reminds you that you are not alone. The One-Year Bible is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, It's the Cross. You know, this Gospel of Luke series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, can do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 23, we'll consider the cross and how it was unique to Christianity. You see, those who believe in Jesus embrace the cross. There's no salvation without the cross, no heaven. Everything that we need for eternal life was purchased by Jesus at the cross. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that true Christianity is feeling the weight of the cross on our shoulders, to feel sorrow, pain, sacrifice, and rejection because we follow Jesus Christ. Now, with his message called It's the Cross, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And so this man comes along, he's the first one. Then it's the two centurions quartering him. Then it's Jesus. Then the two other centurions. And then right behind him is now Simon carrying the cross. Why do I point that out? Because Simon is hearing all of the jeering, all of the things that we know is taking place from other scriptures. They're spitting on Jesus. They're cursing him. Some are weeping. Most are cursing. He's bleeding. Can you imagine the blood trail? The spit, the hatred, the foul language, the cursing. All this is going on, and here's a man who's come, as it were, in a sense, to vacation and worship in Jerusalem, and he's right in the middle of it all. I love that, because all of a sudden in my life and in your life, God placed you and I right in the middle of it all, did he not? Those of us who are Christians, did he not interrupt our lives? And is that not the sovereign act of our God to interrupt our lives? He does it in all kinds of things. I don't know why, but most often, doesn't have to be exclusively so, but most often it's time of tragedy. We don't listen well unless we are in a time of tragedy. It's just the way that we're wired. We're stubborn people. When we're happy and content, most often we're not listening. And then an earthquake comes, either emotionally or physically or spiritually, and God gets our attention. And the Bible warns us not to be wise in our own opinion in this age, that we'd rather be fools for Christ. Amen? To follow him, to know him. So Simon, this Cyrenian, the Bible tells us about this guy, a little bit of background that in Acts chapter 6, it tells us that there was a Cyrenian synagogue in Jerusalem. They would have spoken his language. They would have worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but in his own language. And so he's there for Passover. The Bible also tells us in Mark's gospel that Simon the Cyrenian, he had two sons. This is cool, listen. Later on, we find out that he has two sons. Alexander and Rufus are his sons. The Bible tells us that his wife was a notable believer in the early church. All of a sudden, we know something. Guess what? This is cool. The guy has come from Cyrene. He's worshiping the Lord. He doesn't understand that. See, what do you mean he's worshiping the Lord? Well, he's come to worship in Judaism, but he winds up meeting the God of the Jews. He doesn't realize at the outset that the God of the Jews is walking right in front of him on his way to execution. The Lamb of God taking away the sins of the world. He's walking behind him. Something must have happened because the Bible speaks later on that his sons are well known and his wife. Do you think for a moment, church, hypothetically, I think we're on safe ground though, that this man must have gotten saved? Amen. That this man must have went home and told his family either back in Libya today, in North Africa, or he just sent a memo, or he called them up, and he said, you guys need to move here, because we just found God. We do know this, that he had two sons that were notable in the church, and a wife that loved the Lord. This man was changed. Why? He embraced the cross. You say, well, Jackie, of course I see that, but he actually literally embraced the cross. And I want to say that according to Jesus, you and I literally every day as believers embrace the cross. Don't think just because you can't physically see a cross that you're somehow not embracing it. Not true. Listen to this. There's no true Christianity in your life if you and I do not feel the weight of the cross. Think about that. The mockery, the shame of the cross. As a Christian, listen, it's safe in this room right now. We can proudly, gladly, humbly, joyfully proclaim, we're Christians and we believe in the cross. That Jesus went to the cross. We even wear a cross on our neck. Our car's got a cross on it. I've got t-shirts with crosses on it. And then we get out there in the world. And I do something. Lisa always gets upset with me when I do this. She's kind to me about it, but she says, why do you do that? And it's this. When I see somebody who has a cross, I will often say, if I don't know them, I will often say, what's that you're wearing? What is that? And you guys, I encourage you to do this. Seriously, do this. You see somebody wearing a cross, say, what is, I love to do it in taxis. I use a taxi a lot when I'm in New York or Washington, D.C. Excuse me. What is that on your mirror right there? What is that? And this is kind of cool. I don't know why, but most taxi drivers in Washington, D.C. are from North Africa. And most of them from North Africa are not Islamic, as you might think. They have Christian, some sort of Christian logo. And I'll say, what's that hanging from your mirror there? It is a cross. It's a cross. What's that for? You know. No, I don't know. You say, Jack, you're lying. Ah, it's close. I'm getting real close. I do know. I'm just trying to provoke a conversation. No, what is that about? What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? And then I let them talk. Let them talk. Let them share Christ. And then when it's all done, you're getting out. And you better tip them good if you do that, by the way. Because the moment they find out you're a Christian, you better tip them good. God does not appreciate wimpy tippers when it comes to Christianity. And you tell the guy, listen, I'm a Christian as well. God bless you. Keep up your witness. Don't be shy. Let the cross be known. And it's such a cute thing. And then you tip them. And it's a sweet thing. To feel the weight of the cross. The moment you mention the cross is going to generate some sort of response. There's no true Christianity in our lives if we are not, listen, sacrificing, feeling pain, feeling some sort of shame, as it were, about the cross. As a Christian, we embrace the cross if it brings us death or if it brings us an opportunity, if it brings us life, if it brings us a moment to share the love of God. We are to embrace the cross. And there is no true Christianity without the cross. There's no true Christianity in our lives without humiliation concerning the cross. The cross is humiliating. I don't think we get that in our life. We don't think about crosses today, but it would be just like you having somebody with you, a friend, and you introduce this friend to people you meet. Hi, this is my friend George, and he's an absolute convicted criminal, and he was on death row, and he's supposed to be electrocuted, but he just got loose. And the guy has got an electric chair hanging around his neck on a chain. The cross is a point of shame. The cross is a point of disgrace, of terror, of horror, of death. When you were an early Christian in the first century and you mentioned the cross, people went, the cross? It'd be like just like today. People would say, man, you know what? I've come to the electric chair and that's where I found my Savior. I came to the end of my rope, and that's where I found my Savior. You would say today, I came to the cross, and that's where I found my Savior. Have you literally come to the cross for your life? In 2 Timothy 3:10, the Bible says, you, however, know all about my teachings, Paul said, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. He says persecutions, sufferings. He's just talking about his life. What kinds of things happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured, and yet the Lord rescued me from all of them, he says. In fact, everyone who wants to live godly, a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Look at that, 1 Timothy 3:12. Write that down. Put that on the dash of your car. Memorize it. Give your friend a scripture verse of the day. All those who live godly will suffer persecution. Cheer up. Persecution's coming. Listen, if we understand about embracing the cross, because listen, the cross should be more dear to us than anything in this world, because it's where our sins were taken care of. It's where our Jesus went. And so when we think about the cross, the world may be embarrassed about it. Some Christians might even, because they don't understand, shy away from it. Oh no, we need to stand bold in that. So you can imagine Simon's testimony. Can you imagine how he might have shared with his sons and his wife and his friends? They could have asked him, "So Mr. Simon, sir, tell us, how was it?" Well, I'll tell you how it was. I was walking directly behind him. You should have seen the spit flying and the nasty words that were being said. And you know what? He never reviled back at them. In fact, when you look at his face, as he looked at their faces, it was compassion, forgiveness, grace, and mercy on him. And he said, you know, when I began to see that, I knew that something was different here. I didn't know quite what was going on, but I knew this man was different. It wasn't until later that I found out who he was. Can you imagine the story, the testimony that this man had to tell people? Secondly, it's the cross. It's the cross that's rejected by those who disbelieve, verses 28 and 29. But Jesus turned to them, that is the daughters of Jerusalem, and said to them, "Do not weep for me." These are women along the roadway. There must have been a great crowd. He says, "But weep for yourselves and for your children." This is a very sad commentary right here. Jesus is saying that the nation has rejected me, rejected its hope, and daughters of Jerusalem, you and your children are going to pay a special price. Tragically. I'll explain that in a minute. For indeed, verse 29, the days are coming in which they will say, "Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore and the breast which never nursed." You know what, church? Mark that down. I know at times you and I may have felt like this. Now, some of you young people, you don't know what I'm about to say. You don't understand it. It makes no sense to you. But for some of us who are older, have you ever had this thought? In fact, some young couples today, they look around the world and they see all the crazy stuff going on, and this is one of the thoughts they have in their minds, or they might even discuss it. Do we want to bring a child into this world? If you're a grandparent, you go, "Man, I'm so excited about being a grandparent, but do you want to bring a grandchild into this world?" Do you know what I'm talking about? Well, can you imagine? Jesus is answering that human concern. Oh my goodness, daughters of Jerusalem and your children, because of what's taking place, the rejection of the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world being rejected right here, right now, it begins right here, ladies in Jerusalem. You will be caught up. You will be completely vandalized and victimized because others have rejected me. And he says, there's going to come a time when you're going to be thinking, "I'm glad I didn't give birth, and I'm glad I'm not encumbered by the nursing of a baby." What a tragic thing to say. You say, "Well, you know, I don't know what the big deal is." Listen, if you say this in Israel, let me tell you, those people live to have babies. It is the cutest thing in the world. Heritage, name, children, it's a big deal. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God, the cross. But to those who are rejecting the cross, Jesus is warning, O daughters of Jerusalem, it's going to be tough for you because there's those all around you who have rejected the cross." Jesus lovingly, compassionately tells them about the approaching truth. Life is about to become very hard for you, women, and for your children, because it's national leaders. Israel, listen, we don't like to hear this stuff. I'm telling you, I've kind of tried to figure out how not to say this, but I'm just going to say it. Jesus is saying, because of the decision of the national leaders of Israel, you ladies and your children are going to suffer. Yeah. Did you hear that? No one wants to hear this. Even in our world today, nations, people, good, innocent, sweet, people suffer because of the decisions of those in power. There's nothing fair about it. It's just human nature, and Jesus warns about that.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Israel's national leaders had cast their vote about Jesus. In John 3:18, Jesus said, "For whoever believes in him, that is Christ, is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than lights." Matthew 15:30, they mocked him and made fun, the national leaders, and they said, "Save yourself, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests, also mocking Jesus among themselves with the scribes, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." I love that verse, by the way. He saved others. Look at that. He saved others. Is that true? Yep. Himself he cannot save. Listen, the reality is they're mocking him. "Oh, look, he saved others. Ooh, big Jesus saving everybody." They're mocking him. "Himself he cannot save." No, you guys. He saved others, himself he would not save. Big difference. Why? He would not save himself so he could save others. Those others are you and I. I like that. In John chapter 8, verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your father," he speaks to the scribes and Pharisees, he says, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil." He's so subtle here, huh? "And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning." And what are they doing to Jesus now? In their hearts, they're murdering him. In God's heart, Jesus is being offered up as our sacrifice for our sins. It's amazing. It's awesome. Where are you in this crowd? Where are you? It's an amazing thing to realize that there are steps to rejecting Jesus. Number one, dangerous thing, self-reliance. These guys who had rejected Jesus Christ based upon their, listen, self-reliance, based upon their independent mindset, and based upon their human pride, they have voted against Jesus Christ, and now the whole nation will suffer. Church, you get tired of hearing this, and every time I say what I'm about to say, I get some crazy bonehead letter misunderstanding me completely. It's biblical regarding national leaders, that they be in power. God has established borders and leaders. He also asks us to pick our leaders. When we have bad leaders, it's because we've allowed it to be so. We put them into power. And it might be a local government all the way up to the UN. Understand something. The Bible says those who are in power will make decisions that will directly affect you. You can put your head in a hole in the ground and say it ain't true, but it is true. You need to be involved in that process by prayer and by voting. Israel's national leader said, we vote against Jesus. And Jesus says, "Women of Jerusalem, you're going to weep and your children will suffer." Is that not true today? In every culture? Is it not true in America? It's absolutely true. Nobody wants to talk about that. "Oh, you're being political." I'm not political whatsoever. Purely biblical. Purely biblical. Just remember, that which is biblical affects not only that which is public, but political, private, and eternal, because it's biblical. It's amazing. Philippians 3:18 says, "For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and even now tell you weeping," says Paul, "that they are enemies of the cross." The word means rejectors of the cross. And Galatians 2, verse 21, wow, listen to this. The book of Galatians chapter 2, verse 21 says, "I do not set aside the grace of God, the free gift of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Jesus had to go to the cross. Jesus is not being murdered. Jesus is being offered up by the Father. And yet those who are voting against him will be guilty of deicide, the killing of God. Number three, it's the cross that's preparing us for what's ahead, verses 30 to 31. Then they will begin to say, Jesus speaks. This is a very unique prophecy, by the way. Then they will begin to say, to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will they do or what will happen when it's dry? That is an amazing. Look at verse 31, first of all. He's speaking about future events, and he's talking this way. He said, if the hills can catch fire when they're green, or a forest can burn during the winter or springtime, when everything shouldn't be burning, it should be just blossoming beautifully. When the grace of God is evident and they do this stuff, what in the world is going to happen when the grass is dry and parched from summer heat and all the creeks have dried up and there's no water and it's the end of September? What's going to happen then? Jesus is saying, if I'm standing here right now and God has visited planet Earth and here I am and this happens now, can you imagine what's going to happen when I'm gone? That's what he is saying. Imagine. He's warning them. And he quotes an amazing portion of scripture. He's quoting Hosea chapter 10, verse 8. Why is that important? Because it comes up again in the book of Revelation chapter 6, verse 16. Jesus is standing in the middle of Bible prophecy to the left, written down in Hosea, and future events, Bible prophecy fulfilled in the book of Revelation. He is saying that there's going to come a time because of Israel's rejection of the Messiah that judgment will come.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Life Radio with his message called It's the Cross. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. I have Pastor Jack in the studio right now, and we're catching up about our current featured resource, the one-year Bible. So, Pastor Jack, you and I were talking about the one-year Bible, of course.
Right.
And you said that it can make a big church small and a small church big. What does that mean?
Yeah. For 30 years now, we have introduced every year, leading up to the new year, the one-year Bible. I think it's published by Tyndale. That's irrelevant. But it's the one-year Bible. And for us, when we were a small church, it really was us reading the Bible through as a church family.
Yeah.
And what I used to say was, and you almost had it right, it makes a small church powerful.
Oh, got it.
But okay. As the years went on and the church grew into the many thousands that do now attend, it makes a big church small.
Yeah.
How's that? It puts everybody on the same page literally every day. So we have sold many thousands and thousands of these one-year Bibles over the years. And it's just beautiful. It's great. People love it. And it's a great challenge. And yeah.
So the first time I did it, it took me like 3 years. Like, no kidding, because I'd...
So the 1 year felt like 3 years.
It literally took me 3 years. But here's the thing. And I remember you saying this to a bunch of us last year. Just catch up on the day that we're on.
Yes. I'm a big fan, everybody. We've all bought devotions and embarked upon a devotion, and then we get the flu, or we got to travel, or we forget, and then we're behind. And then the first thing you know, by January 15th, you're a week behind, and you throw the devotion in the trash because now you're so guilty.
Right.
And again, we learned over the years, forget all that. Read the day that you're on. If you're sick or you're traveling and you miss a week, that's all right. Join us on the day that it is. Stay true to the calendar date that is printed up in that one-year Bible, and we'll be together in spirit.
All right, that's the one-year Bible, and it's our current featured resource. Join us this year, would you? Experience the power of reading through the Bible along with thousands of fellow believers. Receive a copy of the one-year Bible when you give a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Here's our website, jackhibbs.com. Once again, jackhibbs.com. You know, Jack Hibbs truly believes that we are living in some of the most exciting days in history. which brings some great opportunities to share with the world a powerful, no-nonsense presentation of the gospel to this generation, who, by the way, are really searching for answers and for truth. Will you stand with us in sharing this message in real and practical ways? We ask that you commit to support Real Life and the teachings of Jack Hibbs with a gift of your choosing. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. There you'll find instructions on how to give a one-time gift or a recurring gift. If you'd prefer to call, here's that phone number, 877-777-2346. One more time, 877-777-2346. Your gift will be faithfully put to work because it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.